Welcome back. Welcome back, listeners. If you've listened to episode zero, I keep getting that wrong. If you listened to episode zero, thank you very much. This is episode one. Just going to give a little intro to what's coming up on this episode. It's the first installation of the Artists series with my guest, or my first guest on that series, Dominik Watin, a Polish-German, half-Polish, half-German filmmaker from Poland. I've got some other stuff to tell you guys about, news, upcoming projects. Basically, I didn't think I would get this far to actually do a first or second episode. First episode, really. But whoever listened to the first one or the zero one, and now this first one, I really appreciate it. I think you will see a drastic improvement as I go on, as I progress, as I go from episode to episode. Episode one, this one that you're in right now, is basically the first interview I recorded for this series and for Voices from the Dark. I think that it's obviously, I was obviously tense during that interview. It was also in a cafe, but I don't think that really affected anything. I think it was more the fact that I was reading from a list of questions for Dominik Watin, which I think, yeah, definitely made me feel unnatural and then appropriately behave even more unnatural. To tell you the truth, I feel unnatural right now sitting in front of this microphone telling you all this right now, recording all this. But this is the process. And I hope everybody keeps listening, everybody who's listening now, and tells their friends about it. Because I think that this platform, not just Voices from the Dark, but podcasting in general, is super, super effective if you can get into some kind of a groove. I want to do a lot with this podcast, which is one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Basically, some of my upcoming projects are on the website. You might have already read about them. So this is the first installment of the artist series. Another series that I'm doing, or that I want to do, is about movies. It's basically a movie review podcast where two co-hosts or more make recommendations for each other, to each other. They recommend movies to watch, and one of them has to vouch for the movie, basically saying this is a good movie, and then the other one has to watch it, or they both have to watch it together, which it would definitely be ideal, I think, or to watch it multiple times. And then the person who the movie was suggested to has to say whether they agree or not that it was a good movie. I guess you can also do it in the reverse, where you would say this is a terrible movie. But that doesn't seem as fun, but it could work. So that's one. I tentatively named it. I gave it a working title, Four-Eyed Cyclops. That's two eyes per person, and they're looking at the same, they're looking through one kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's one podcast, so it's one sort of channel for their points of view, which are represented by the four eyes. Anyway, it's just a crazy name. It's a crazy name for the show. It could be anything. It could be the names of the people. I don't really care. Anyway, that's one project that I would like to pursue. So if you are a movie lover, get in touch with me. You know how to do that. The website, bornfromthedark.com/contact. You can send me a message there. I would like also to have a podcast about music, but that is definitely further out on the horizon. More, a little bit more a little bit closer is a podcast I'm going to do with Evgeny, which I think I mentioned him before. He's sort of a philosopher, a thinker, and Bulgarian as well. So that makes him really cool. And anyway, we're going to do a podcast about fallacies, which I don't think anybody does this kind of thing. Basically, we'll take one fallacy per day. If you don't know what a fallacy is, just look it up on Wikipedia. It'll enlighten you. The name of that is tentatively Mistaken Ideas, and I think that's a great name because that's the definition of a fallacy. It's a mistaken idea, or at least that's one of the definitions. And I just like the way it sounds. As usual, aesthetics for me are pretty important. You might not notice that, but it's really true. All right, so those are the upcoming projects. If you have ideas for a music podcast, that'd be great. I personally am into metal, punk, hip-hop, jazz, a little bit of classical. Basically, I like anything that sounds good, which I know is a cop-out, but that's where I am. So back to this episode number one. This is my interview with Dominik Watin, a Polish filmmaker who recently moved to Berlin. We spoke in a cafe. It was my first interview. You can tell that I'm nervous. You can tell that I'm reading these questions from a list or whatever. And I don't really know where to take the conversation at some point. My guest, Dominik Watin, was amazing. If you stick with it and kind of, you know, ignore my fumbling and my amateur vibe or whatever, then you will hear him talk about some amazing stories in his life, about his path along the road of artistry or creativity. Basically, this episode is about perseverance, never giving up. And if I wanted to pay somebody, I would use the Rocky theme right now, because that's quite appropriate. You'll find that out at the end. We talk about movies, we talk about art, we talk about pretty much all that stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't think I have any other news to tell. So without further ado, Dominik Watin.
I like the title, Voices from the Dark. Yeah. My name is Dominik Watin. I am a filmmaker. I live right now here in Berlin. I used to spend most of my life in Poland, where I grew up and went to film school. And last year I moved here.
Berlin?
Yeah, moved here. Yeah.
So great. Tell us about your art. Like, since we're talking about who you are, who's your audience? Who do you make art for? Who do you do it for? If that makes sense.
Yeah. When I was studying in the film school in Warsaw, I always thought I'm making film for myself. I will always make them only for myself. But then I got to learn, of course, for the audience. I used to make a lot of independent films, short films, a lot of, through the last years. And I'm trying to get my feature film done.
Okay.
Also independent style, but yeah. A little bit bigger.
Okay, I like that you're honest about who you do it for. You do it for yourself.
I thought I was doing it for myself for a long time, and that's maybe
has it
because
changed?
A lot of my films are very specific, and let's call it Voices from the Dark. But over the last years, when I started making more comedy stuff, and I saw the reaction from the audience, it was quite fun to see that it's especially for them. So I reset my thinking in this case.
Okay.
So of course it's for the audience, it's of course for myself, but it's the same thing. When I want to do for myself, I can do it privately, and I could can put it in the in my desk and can be happy about it. But
yeah,
it's mostly for the audience.
Okay, so you feel like it's more fulfilling to do it for an audience and to make them feel something, or what do you expect?
Especially to make them feel something.
And if you want to speak any other languages during this podcast, go for it. Like if you're thinking of a word,
yeah, we can.
Go for it.
Because, yeah, you know, yeah, this, we can try Polish, I we can try German.
I believe in internationalism and, yeah.
Yeah, so. I also, I don't know.
If you say anything in Polish, I will not understand it. German will
I
be...
I can curse in Polish, yeah.
Well, that I probably will understand.
Yeah.
All right, so you said you're a filmmaker. I guess just say more about that. What, obviously, that's your art. What kinds of films do you make? You said short films and you're working on a feature. What else can you say more about, like, you know, very
I did,
briefly?
Did
you
after in my studies and after I did a lot of those, yeah, dark voices, drama, heavy films with heavy themes,
okay.
like schizophrenia, drunk
alcoholism.
But then I started to get away a little bit from those themes.
Okay. What did you move on to? What did you move on to? What kind of themes did you move from the dark?
I think it's still dark, and it will be dark because I like dark.
Okay.
But
me too.
But it's maybe with a little more distance.
Okay.
Stories told.
Okay. So when did you start? Did you start in school? Obviously you still make art. How long has it been?
Thing is, I come from a big artistic family.
Oh, okay, that's always good.
With a big artistic background. And since childhood I knew I wanted to do this.
And was like specifically film?
Specifically film, wow. Yes. I always wanted to be an actor.
Oh, okay.
As a kid, because I love Charlie Chaplin and I used to... to imitate him when I saw the movies when,
yeah,
I was 6 years old, and something like this. And I grew up with film. Film was, I see myself as a film maniac.
Filmmaniac.
I like that. Filmmaniac. I can watch 3, 4, 5 movies a day. And
yeah, me too.
And I'm happy. And I played a lot of theater in school and in middle school, and I always knew I wanted to go in this direction. And I was a horrible student at school. I think they wanted to kick me out.
Like math and science?
Everything.
Oh, even art? Or
Even in art I was,
oh, okay,
bad.
Interesting.
And I was a fat kid, so I was not doing in sports well, but only in theater I felt good. In history and theater. And so it was a natural way, and they want to kick me out a few times from school. I had to how do you say, wiederholen,
you
class.
Had to go back, you had to repeat.
Three times to repeat.
Oh, wow.
And I only finished high school because I wanted to study film, and it was the only reason.
Oh,
I was the worst student until today from my school. But I wanted to study film, and I was very determined about it. And then I started also to make little film projects.
Yeah.
And yeah, I passed my graduation and went to film school and got out as one of the best students.
Oh, wow.
So
it takes all... one of the things about this podcast, The Voices from the Dark, is that I know that every artist, every person has a different path in life. So I think it's very interesting to hear things exactly like that.
Okay.
That's the interesting thing. And I feel like if somebody out there wants to be an artist, but they suck at it, they might just have to spend more time at it and be like you, and they some later on down the road, you get good at it because you want to be good at it. And I think that that's something that...
It's something about never giving up. And exactly. Even after film school and after a good graduation from this with the best mark, and then the struggle began, really, because you had to work and you had to do your own films and you had to put your feet in this film world. And it's still going on, so...
You said you moved to Berlin just a year ago.
Last year.
So where did you make art before then? And just tell us more about, you know, your travels or where you've made art before. Have you traveled to make art, or do you generally make films where you live? So it's just something about your relationship to space. Location.
I think it doesn't matter where. That's why that's why I changed my themes a little bit to get more universal, because film is a universal language. And if you can make a film that is understood, not defined by language or culture or something, then okay, then you have done something. But I used to grow up in Poland. I'm half German, so I'm half Polish. I lived in Warsaw most of my life, and the last 8 years I spent in Wrocław, in Breslau. After film school, I moved there.
That's in Poland?
Yeah, it's in Poland.
Okay. And so you plan on being in Berlin for extended, or is it no plan?
Do you
plan these types of things?
I always wanted to go to come here to Berlin. All my life I traveled between Germany and Poland in the 80s when the wall was there and then the country was divided. And all my life I was passing through Berlin when I got to Poland and back. And it was a long time journey to finally come here and to live here. And for many years I wanted to live here. And last year I decided it's the time to settle down here for a while and try it, because it gives you so much more options and
to make film,
to make yourself, and also the political situation in Poland is not quite interesting right now, and that's why me as a half German, half Polish, I decided I want to come back to Germany.
I would love to talk more about what you mean by the political situation, but I think everybody knows that there's like a wave of right-wing extremism.
There's a wave of right-wing, and
not just Poland, but seems like everywhere.
Everywhere in Europe, and I specifically, I saw it in, I don't like to call it my art, but I had the chance 2 years ago almost to debut in the Polish theater in Wrocław, which is one of the biggest theaters in Poland, and with which I grew up since childhood, and I made a reading there, and it was a political scandal because they changed the director because of political issues. And the new director likely offered me a continuation to work, which was my dream, but I said I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it?
I couldn't.
Because
of the political situation.
Okay. So the big question, this might sound like the question, we've already spoken about it, but I asked you before, you know, who do you make your art for? So that's who you make your art for, but now the big question for me is why? What is it about you or about your life? Or I know you said you're from an artistic family, so I know that has got something to do with it, but like, is there something else? Like, why do you make art? This is like one of my big questions for me as a writer.
Okay. Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right, yeah.
I can't do anything else.
Can't
I suck at every other job, and I tried.
Right,
and
that's
and
honest. That's honest.
And I, as I said, as I mentioned, I always wanted to do it. I have a strong will and determination to get where I want to be, even if it takes longer and even more years of struggle. But there's still, after all this, no chance I wouldn't do anything else. So I try to stay alive, to work in the business, to assist, to act, maybe to do different jobs, just but with the main cause or the main target to make my own stuff and to live.
Okay.
Thanks to it.
That's very honest. Some people might try to make a big story about, you know, when I was a kid, I saw, you know, a bus turn over or some other, who knows, some crazy scene from your childhood.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of stuff in myself and which I experience and still experiencing. But this is not the main reason why. I think I have a lot to tell from my own personal history, but this is not why I can write down my diary and then maybe publish it in a few years. But
are you saying that you have an exciting life, like a crazy life, or
it's getting calmer right now? It was very crazy after studies and till not so long ago. But then I said to myself, okay, if you want to do it, then get a step back.
Okay. So the big question is, so artists, you know, there's that common cliche, that trope, that idea, the concept that artists, there's the struggling artist, the starving artist. Do you know this kind of caricature of an artist?
First of all, I don't see myself as an artist. Okay. because in film, the only one real artist in film is the writer, if there's one person, and maybe a music composer. But the rest is just it's very based on teamwork, and everybody is depending on on anything or anyone else. And a painter for me is an artist, somebody who gets the brush and paints something. A writer, a music composer.
Okay.
Yes, those are artists for me. In film and theater, I think it's so
based on teamwork.
Yeah, dependent on so other facts, and it's really 90% craftsmanship, and then you have sometimes this little moment where you okay do something artistic, but being on a film set has not a lot to do with art. To write this stuff, okay, maybe.
That's interesting. So craftsmanship versus art, you feel that there's some difference there. They're not the same.
Okay, every art isn't craftsmanship, but mostly in film, they're all craftsmen. So artistic craftsmen, yes, but I always had this problem to say, okay, I'm an artist. And
well, I'll say you're an artist if you're a filmmaker. I believe that.
Okay. And so I say you're an artist if you're a writer.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. And so the question is, how do you do it? How do you survive? Do you have another job? Do you work solely on your film, I don't want to call it your art, but do you have other things that give you the ability to live, you know, like money, income, so on and so forth? I know it's a dirty topic, but
no,
I feel like
it's a very important topic, because everybody has to get through the day and to live. I have had the luck to work on big productions, on many movie sets as an assistant in different positions, as in first AD, second AD, second AD, as a dialogue coach, as a translator, even as an actor. I've done some stuff I even don't want to talk about, but if there's a chance I can act.
You don't want to talk about
it? Yeah. But they paid, so...
Oh, you mean you've worked as an actor?
Yeah, in some series or
something. You're not talking about porn, are you?
No. But trash TV, yes. But I did it, okay.
Oh, trash TV.
They paid it for the experience and everything.
Not that there's anything wrong with porn. I'm not...
No, I don't...
I mean, there may be something wrong with it. I'm not an expert on porn. We're not talking about porn today, but yeah.
That's a different topic. We can spend 2 hours talking about
porn.
Yeah,
we can talk about... Honestly, we can talk about anything. But... So, basically... Yeah, so you survive off of your work, your craft.
Work in the craft, yes, mostly.
That's good. Was it always like that, or did you have
like... It wasn't. It was like after the studies, I had the chance to work at one big production with the extras and as a translator. And after that, there was a big hole. And it's like, okay, film school is over. Now here's reality.
Okay.
Get through it. So... and make your own movie. So I made a short movie. We got to big festivals in Poland with this for no fee, no budget. But after that, there was a black hole, and I worked also in a hotel in a family business for many years, just to survive and to can do what I want to do. But if I can remember well, there was a little period where I had nothing to do with the film business, and it was very hard then to get into it back into it. But mostly, as I mentioned, I worked at other firms for other productions, TV, film.
Okay. And you said mentioned theater before. Have you done theater too, or?
I have done my own piece in theater, but which, because of the political situation, never continued.
Right.
And I want to come back to theater.
I will.
Yes.
Okay.
I have one project right now in mind, and it. We will try it here in Berlin. Berlin gives very, very a lot of opportunities to make independent of theater.
Yeah, I want to ask you more about what you're working on at the moment in a little bit. But before that, do you have any advice, like to answer this question for any other artists? Any words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom?
Yeah. Or words of encouragement?
I like... encouragement quotes, wisdom quotes.
Oh, yeah?
I love them. I read them every day to get through.
Do you know
and not
anything
to give
off
up.
The top of your head, like
off the top,
like your favorite one?
Oh man, you got
there's
me
a
there.
Lot.
You got me right.
That's
now.
Fine. That's fine.
I can put out my phone and find some.
No, I mean, yeah, if you want to check your phone, you
maybe
can check
we.
It.
We get back to that question.
Yeah, okay, so...
And something comes to my head.
Yeah, all right, so what... So, yeah, so what do you work at? You said that you want to get back to the theater at some point, but so what are you working on right now? Film, is it...
Film business, yeah.
And what exactly do you do? You write? I mean, you said you do a lot of things, so what's your... for your next or the project that you care about the most, what is your role in creating that project?
Yeah, the thing is,
and of course later on you can promote it and tell me the website or whatever, any
okay,
kind of stuff.
I haven't quite decided, because last year I took off and I said to myself, okay, get some work done, and I assisted at a lot of productions and then acted also. And I haven't thought about my own stuff completely.
Okay.
And I have a short list of projects I would like to do. Today it's hard to say, because I'm quite in the middle of getting eventually back to school.
Oh, really?
To get a producer workshop.
Okay.
But there's a lot of struggle with the Arbeitsamt.
Really?
Yeah. It's very, 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 very fresh. So
Well, I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. A lot of the people who might be listening to this might not know what the Arbeitsamt is.
Yeah, so Arbeitsamt is okay. It's something where you, when you don't work, you get yourself there and said, okay, I'm not working, and you get.
Yeah, it's basically the unemployment office. So.
Okay.
So yeah. You just moved
so
here.
So in this job is not it's normal because you never have a job for more than a few weeks. So right. So. So I decided I want to develop myself and make a producer workshop.
And you've already signed up for it? Or?
I signed up. I'm qualified for it. And
is there some doubt that you have about it, or?
No, it's fresh. It's like two days ago.
Okay. Now
it's like I can't confirm what I will do the next half year because I'm still waiting for the paperwork to be done.
Okay. All right. So it's bureaucratic bullshit.
It's fucking bureaucratic. Yeah. Yes, bullshit.
All right. I guess that's typical.
And from this situation, yeah, it depends. There is one project I will concentrate the next half year, possibly maybe the next 2 years. But unless I haven't done this bureaucratic bullshit and I'm not through it, I can't say I will do it definitely.
Okay.
And I think next week everything will be
okay. So clear. You had said I think what you said was you have a lot of stories to tell about like art career or your film career. I forget what you said exactly. I'm going to look it up here. You said, let's see. Yeah, you said you have a lot to tell. So that actually piqued my curiosity quite a bit. I was wondering, you know, do you have like any crazy stories or something? I don't know. You sort of have a little bit of a, you know, crazy story vibe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe you're, like you said, you're calmed down now. But
a little, yeah.
If it's related to, you know, work, art, craftsmanship, film. I mean, obviously, if it's just, you know, what everybody does, just crazy partying and stuff, then that's not necessarily that interesting for me. But I mean, do you have some anecdotes, maybe? Little stories? What was the craziest?
Of course I have.
What was the craziest film project you worked on? Like, maybe they had, like, a crazy theme?
Yeah, the craziest, I think, was one of the last ones, and was about a struggling filmmaker.
Okay.
Who got out of business, who had success 10 years ago, and now who wants to come back. And it was one of the most craziest things I've done. It's a short film, it's about 30 minutes, because we decided with a screenwriter with whom I'm working to make a short film to get the fundings for a big film. And it's a film about making a film.
Okay.
And it's so crazy that almost every festival said no, didn't accept it. And it's so crazy that we were at one or two festivals last year in Poland, and the jury, which were filmmakers by themselves, they were so offended. They said, I'm arrogant.
So you're arrogant.
Yeah, I'm arrogant before the whole audience. That I'm arrogant, my film is arrogant, and they were so offended they didn't want to talk to me. So I think they... I hit their emotion deep somewhere.
Yeah. So now you have to tell us the title or something. What?
Yeah, it's The Filmmaker's a prequel, and
that's what
it's not published yet. Okay. It is on Vimeo with the password, but it's not published yet. It will be published this year, because the festival route is closed. So in the next few months, I think we will publish it, just to see the reactions.
Yeah, all right. I'm looking forward to that.
I can send you a link. So
yeah, that would be cool. I won't publish it or anything. That's interesting that you say that the festival route is closed. You say?
Yeah.
I was talking to a filmmaker, who I can't remember his name at this point, but I met him at this what is it called? Rain Dance Berlin. Do you know Rain Dance?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, and they have this like sort of monthly get together. It's called the Booze and Schmooze. A friend of mine runs that. A friend of a friend who is
oh,
now
really?
Yeah, my friend. It's a friend of a friend who okay. lives in New York. So, but she lives in Berlin now. And anyway, I met this guy there, and he told me that. I mean, maybe he has like more of a reputation, and he's like, he's also older, so maybe he's got a longer career. He said that people like still contact him about like stuff he did years ago.
Yeah.
Like festivals still contact him, and he was just showing me like a list of all the, and so he can just like sit on his hands and do nothing and just let the festivals come to him. I don't know if that's a big deal to have tons of festivals coming, but he seemed to be very happy about it. So.
Yeah, this.
So never give
quite
up. That's
because you can show your movies. You can have a reaction from the audience, and I always had a good reaction from the audience, but not from the jury. So, so then I knew, okay, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the audience.
Yeah. And this was in Poland.
This was in Poland, yeah. And yeah, mostly.
Okay. So that was. Do you want to say the name of the festival, the film festival?
I attended.
No, yeah, the one where the jury was telling you.
It was one of the oldest independent film festivals in Poland, in the dead city Konin, and it was a very very small festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, film festivals. I don't really have too many more questions. Is there any other projects that you're working on that you want to mention? Maybe we can get people to pay attention to, or any other stories that might like give like some kind of message to other artists. I know it sounds like a little too philosophical, but I think that it's important to have as many stories as, you know, that's what this podcast is about. It's like about stories that can help people to kind of find their path. So is there any other, I mean, you tell the film festival story, I think that's important because, you know, you get rejected all the time in the arts, and could be whatever it is, painting, writing, you know.
Yeah, of course, but I think rejection is also a kind of reaction. So there is a reaction. So something has to be about it. Maybe it offends somebody, or somebody don't feel quite well with this. So there is a reaction. This is the most important. I think when somebody says to your work, it's okay, man. This is hard.
That's the worst thing.
But when they say, no, I don't like it, oh, man, there you have emotion. And through all my life, I got rejected all the time. I need financing for a big film. Rejection, 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 rejection. It's too complicated. It's too this, it's too this, this, this. Many, many doors closed. I get to castings. Rejected, 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 rejected. So I send films to festival, rejected, 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 rejected. So okay. I'm getting used to it. I got used to it. So
so there was a change in the way you reacted. So
yeah, I think 10 years ago I reacted very, I was very offended and very too emotional. And but now it's getting like you put yourself this wall and okay, so this door is closed, maybe another one will open.
Yeah.
Don't give up because somebody said no, or somebody said it's too weird, or blah, 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 blah.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other questions that would be useful to the audience, you know, this audience that I'm trying to build. Dominic, thanks for your time, man. I really appreciate it. And
Watch Rocky.
Okay. Yeah, so that's actually a good question. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, I hate this question. Yeah, it's because I have a top 100 list. Because I have a top 100 list and even in the top 10, as I mentioned, I'm a film maniac. I watch everything. I even watch bad movies and I like them. So there are a few movies I can watch all the time, and I maybe like Amadeus from Miloš Forman. I can watch it two
times.
Is that
the one
about Mozart?
Yeah, about Mozart. Yeah, I forget his name. This actor. Oh shit! I can't remember his name. This guy he plays the enemy Scalieri.
Salieri, yeah.
Yeah, but the actor has this crazy nose.
Mario Abraham.
Yeah, this guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an old movie.
This is an old movie from the 80s, but since I can remember, I have watched it maybe 50, 60 times.
Really?
And I try to watch it at least once a year. This year I have done it already, and I will do it again, the director's cut. And I have a lot of movies I can watch and watch over again, because One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it's next example.
Okay,
and I can watch it again and again and again. And the same, okay, I love Rocky. You can say anything you want about Sylvester Stallone, but
no,
what he wrote for me, it's something special.
Yeah, a lot of people agree with that. I mean, I'm not a big Sylvester Stallone fan, but for sure the Rocky series, I've seen them all. Did you see the last one, Balboa? No,
Creed.
Creed. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I saw it last night. Eventually, it was okay. And we can discuss about the whole franchise, but the first one and the story behind the film.
Oh, about
the personal history
and
writing it and getting it done and playing in it. This whole struggle which he made through. This is very, very. Can learn more from this than from than in film school, watching a half an hour interview with Sylvester Stallone, how he made it.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of movies I can rewatch and rewatch and rewatch and watch.
I want to ask you, what do you see in the movie Amadeus? That's so. I mean, honestly. Yeah, I didn't really think much of it. I mean, this was years ago, so I don't really remember it. And I probably only saw it once, not 50 times. But what's so compelling about that?
I think it's timeless.
Yeah?
It's timeless. And it's
is it because it's about Mozart, or is it something about the way it was filmed?
It's about everything in this film. It's about the rivality. It's about the genius versus the... let's say common man who wants to be big but don't has the talent. Okay, Salieri had the talent. It's about how the film is cut, how it's directed, how it's the costumes, also the story of the film, and the history of the film. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as I mentioned, with a few other films, it's like a part of my life. I watched it as an 8-year-old and I was fascinated, and I watched it again, and I know the whole film, I know every cut, and I know every scene, and I still watch it. Yeah. And it's like there's something magic for me happening in this one.
Yeah, I think Mozart obviously is
the
music for sure.
I even don't think about it. It's just I enjoyed watching it every time.
Well, now I want to go watch it again. Yeah, you know, I kind of have to watch it again. Speaking of going back to Stallone, there's a lot of, you know, now we're talking like very specifically about film, but like this can apply to anything, painting, writing.
Yeah.
For me as a writer, a horror writer, immediately comes to mind Stephen King.
Yeah.
Painters probably would think of, I don't know, Jackson Pollock, you know, very, there's no other Jackson Pollock. So what do you think about like these kind of like idols or icons, these people that like other people try to kind of imitate or emulate? Like, do you think, I mean, I find it to be useful, but also like the rebellious like young person inside of me is like, I just want to do everything myself, you know, I want to do, and for film obviously that's impossible. I'm learning.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, it's like.
But if you, yeah, it's possible. But I guess the idea of what I'm trying to ask you is, do you think that it's makes sense to try to follow in other people's footsteps, or should you go on your own way, or is it a mix of both? This, I think, is a question that a lot of people ask themselves from the very beginning.
From the very beginning, okay. Of course, everybody...
Whether they've never created art before, you know.
Of course, everybody has okay, a lot of... Let's say it like this.
It's a sensitive
Of course, you have to have something or somebody to look up on.
Right. To look up to. Yeah.
To look up to, yeah. There's a great quote from Picasso that mediocre artists copy and great artists steal. And it's like, but you have to learn a few how it's done. You have to learn a little bit of the craft. For the same example, Picasso, he learned to paint very, very. How you say it in English?
In German, how you?
Ziemlich genau. Also er hat genau die er hat. He learned from the basics,
right?
As a young painter, and then after in the years of experience, he got more and more abstract to this common Picasso style. So he developed it through his whole lifetime, and I think. Of course, if you like something, okay, try to do it the same way. But in the process, you will see, maybe you will discover your own voice or your different opinion of it or your different point of view. So
you put your own stamp on it. You put your own kind of.
I think this is the craft.
Your own voice, actually.
And eventually, also for artists, you have to work years and years and years to get to that point or to hear your own voice. I'm still trying to figure it out sometimes. So of course get inspired by A, B, C, D, but try to make X.
Try to make your own, yeah. Try your own.
And I think everything, and also in art and in theater and film, everything was already, everything has been done. Just in a different way.
There's that saying that I've always loved, there's nothing new under the sun.
There is nothing new, because the stories told 2,000 years ago, or even 5,000 years ago, are still actual, and they're still repeating themselves, just in different versions. And once in a while you have great, even rock bands, and they make their own style, like Queen, maybe.
That's a unique band, yeah.
Yeah, it's very unique.
I always think of the Stones in terms of like borrowing. They are like so. They've borrowed so much from like old musicians, you know, black blues musicians.
But then when you hear
them, you know it's them.
It's them, of course.
But it's more than that, you know. And so like
they have their own style. They found their own style. Exactly. It's the same with the Beatles, and it's the same with the. Queen, for example, because you hear it and you know it's bang, it's them.
Just one note, and you. So, do you feel yourself as a part of like this ongoing thing from like 2,000 years ago, you know, Greek theater, Greek drama, all the way up till today? Like, do you feel, you know, connected to this process, to this historical process of like, just how art has developed? Do you feel there yet, or do you care, or do you just want to, I don't know, I feel, I always think about, because as a writer, you know, you can't, you're using language, and this is a very, like, next level of representation, so it's not an image, it's a representation of an image, so you do have to, like, kind of like even one word, you might have to research like what are all the meanings? What was the meaning 100 years ago? So I always feel connected through to my work to history. It's how do you feel about this?
As we see in Europe, yeah, history repeats himself.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
Same stuff 70 years ago happening right now, just in different countries, or maybe here. Yeah. Also, so
You're talking about politics, right?
Right now about politics, yeah. But I think you can learn a lot from history, from what has been done, how it has been done, and trying to make it different, or steal the basics and put them in your own words.
Yeah,
so,
I like that. actually, I'm glad that you brought up politics. I don't think we have time for it today.
Yeah, but, it's just
at another time. Maybe I can invite you back and we talk about politics and art, or just politics, because this Voices from the Dark is not just. I mean, it's very focused. I want it to be very focused on art and artists.
Yeah, of course.
But
of course,
there's so many other things that are always playing into that, like careers, politics, philosophy, you name it. I mean, there's so many things to talk about that will always be relevant, if you ask me, will always be relevant to artists. And yeah, I think in order to really help anybody, you know, you have to kind of come at it from many different angles. So you can't just say, oh yeah, don't give up, you know. That I mean, your stories were great, because I feel like they really express this specific idea of like perseverance, but then there's all that other stuff, all that other shit that I want to talk about and get into, like politics and especially what you were talking about in Poland, when the, what was it, the director, he was fired, or did they like
the director?
Hopefully,
and
he was
whole,
just like fired,
and
not
the
like
the whole cast was exchanged, right. because of political.
But
views.
What happened to them? They were just let go. There was no other like crazy shit, like assassinations, disappearing.
No, assassinations, not. But if you call it crazy, okay.
I mean, it's crazy.
First of all, it's propaganda. It's censorship, which they took part in, and replacing a whole functioning system and adapting it to the right now political system,
yeah.
Which is very similar to what happened 70 years ago here in Germany.
That's a scary time, man. All right, I think that's it for today. Yeah, we did like 45 minutes, and this
nice.
Will be like a part of, you know, intro, outro. I'll give you a copy of it. I'll publish it as well, so you can also just download it from there. But I hope you come back, you know, and I hope that maybe you tell other people, you know, other friends that you or colleagues that you work with that. If you enjoyed doing it, you know, maybe
just got all warmed up. It's okay.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think that we should have done a warm up, but next time. And also, so just spread the word if you can, you know, because like I really want to also just create a community of artists like who are like just trying to get shit done, you know, and like make.
Yeah,
make art, but also like make change.
You as a writer, you saw there's a beautiful film with Sean Connery where he plays a writer, an old writer based on J.D. Salinger.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Finding Forrester. It's
Finding Forrester. One, oh man, I never really saw that complete.
Yeah, but
film.
There's one perfect scene in this movie. Okay, we. One perfect scene where the old writer, based on J.D. Salinger, Sean Connery, so tries to teach the young potential and talented writer how to write. And they sit such, like we are sitting here with both of their machines. And the young writer thinks about what to write. And the old writer starts typing. And I love this scene. And there's a lot of wisdom in this, because the first draft, don't think, write from it's your heart. And as Hemingway said, the first draft is always shit. And then re-edit it, think. But the first one, and it doesn't matter if it's painting, if it's music, if it's writing, if it's rehearsing with the actress, just do what you feel. And then think about it. And then redo it, and redo it, and redo it. Rewrite.
That's, I mean, like I said, we should have done a warm-up, but that's a really great question. It made me think of a question. It's like, when is the final draft? How do you know? You know, like for me, I just, at some point, I have a limit. Like I've revised some stories like 10 times. I have like 20 something stories on my website, and a lot of the earlier ones were, I revised them so many times. And I actually like every single draft.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Okay.
And so I took something out and put something in its place because I thought it would work better in that story, but I still like that thing that I took out. It could be a never-ending thing, so...
It's the same...
Like, how do you just...
You have to learn to distance from yourself and to that point to let go. So I always edit, when I edit my movies, even the short ones... I always work with an editor who wasn't on set, who just read the script and got the materials and has a fresh point of view. And I even don't allow him to come on set. They don't want to, because they have the distance then. And they said, cut this, cut this, cut this. And of course, you don't want to cut this because, it's a beautiful shot. And we did this, how long? It's the thing of cut. And in the end, let it go. It's in the moment when you've finished editing and the whole process of post-productions, and you show it to the audience, then it has to be done. And of course, there's always something you want to change, you want to do better, but you have to close it, let it go, and concentrate on the next one.
Yeah. There's a phrase that I always think of whenever I'm editing something. When in doubt, cut it out.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about it for like a day, 24 hours, you probably should just remove it.
Or cut what you love the most.
Yeah. There's a saying about that. I can't remember. Kill your darlings.
Kill your darlings.
But that's from Burroughs. Anyway, it's a movie. It's a movie.
Yeah. You know,
that, I don't know if you saw that film with
Steve
Buscemi. It's like a relatively new film with like these actors, like young, skinny hipster actors.
Okay.
I can't remember any of their names.
No, but I'm sure I know the phrase, Kill Your Darlings.
Kill Your Darlings, It's about Burroughs and Ginsberg, or...
Ah, I heard about it,
It was actually quite good. I only saw it the once, so I couldn't really tell you any details, but it's about their lives, and... again, you know, thanks for your time, and...
You're welcome.
So hopefully you come back, and we do... We do more shit. We talk about more shit. Cool.
Always.
Thanks, Dominic.
Thank you.
We do a formal handshake, even though nobody can see it, because it's a podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.